In the next 60 minutes here on Newsnight, Chief Justice meets 10-day deadline imposed by the president for her to submit her response to three petitions for her removal. We have the latest as the president prepares to consult with the Council of State to establish the preliminary merit of the petitions that may lead to the suspension of the Chief Justice. We have details for you on that also. Tonight, fresh details emerge into Cyberman counterfeit money-making syndicate bust as National Security reveals sealed boxes belonged to the BOG, and some of which contained fake CDs and dollars were found in 10 containers with gold-plated bars.
When we print money from outside Ghana, they come in these boxes, and they are found here.
Wow. How come?
And we brought a Bank of Ghana officials here, and they admitted these are their boxes.
Okay.
And I see this RMD. It means it has been certified.
Meanwhile, National Security is vowing to apprehend the elusive campaign behind the syndicate.
So until I get a campaign, I cannot open them. And that's what I'm looking for. So we have evidence linking them to this place.
And you see the dollars, the fake dollars too. Mm-hmm.
And Lanza Natural Resources Minister Emmanuel Amakofibua says there is no evidence about the existence of some 200 drones purchased by the Akufo-Addo government in 2018 to fight Galamsey.
I have not seen the drones since I became a minister, and I don't know exactly where they are. Maybe Mr. Izzy will tell me where they are.
And let me tell you why the MPP is accusing President Mahama's government of attempting to cover up alleged drug trafficking in Ghana.
Several mind-boggling questions that we are expecting the government to explain to the good people of Ghana, several issues that surround the alleged drug trafficking in our airport.
In business, government to engage relevant stakeholders to establish full impact of U.S. import tariff on Ghana's economy.
And in sports, GOC president warns of imminent collapse of Botiman Sports Complex if current neglect continues.
And I will take your views and comments here on the Newsnight, 055-111-1997. Details after this. Your live, your Newsnight is on Joy 99.7 FM. And we start tonight with that deadline that was issued by the president to the chief of staff for her to submit her response to three petitions seeking to remove her. My presidential correspondent is joining me in the studio right now with the very latest. And Maxwell, we are learning tonight that the chief justice, she's met that deadline, a 10-day deadline.
Exactly. She's met that 10-day deadline, and the presidency has actually acknowledged receipt of her response concerning the petitions, you know, forwarded to her. Additional information the presidency is not willing to provide. Our sources at the presidency are all tight-lipped, you know, on the matter. It's quite as difficult as the camel will go through the eye of the needle. Today there was an event at the presidency, a guard changing ceremony, and we're hoping, you know, to get additional information on this particular matter, because in the morning, sometime last week, the presidency has a newsletter, and it communicated that the chief justice, that deadline would be next week. So a lot of the presidential correspondents had in mind that the day was today. So many came there today, on the ground today, with the hope that they will be able to, you know, take some information from their own sources and put out stories, you know, about it. But a lot of the people we were dealing with were quite tight-lipped, you know, on the matter. It was just some hours ago that we received confirmation that indeed the presidency has acknowledged, you know, receipts of the response of the, you know, Chief Justice. But we know that before we got to the stage, there was some back and forth, you know, between the presidency.
Well, the Chief Justice had complained publicly. Well, not
exactly
publicly. She had written a letter to the presidency.
Yeah.
That was leaked to the press.
Exactly.
And the presidency,
yeah,
to be very specific, the president himself was unhappy.
Yeah.
In fact, he says was disappointed.
Exactly. So the Chief Justice, 2 days after the presidency communicated that it had forwarded those three petitions to the Council of State, 2 days after that, the Chief Justice, on the 27th of March, wrote a letter to the presidency complaining that, you know, the rules of natural justice requires that she's heard, you know, first before those petitions are forwarded, you know, to the Council of State. And then the president also, you know, came back through a letter from his executive secretary, also came back to say that no, that those petitions were actually first forwarded to the chairman of the Council of State, Do Ajahu, to get his response first. Then after that, we would forward those petitions, you know, to you. So the concerns that you were raising were already in motion. They're already in motion with serving you with those, you know, petitions. So,
and subsequently, he was giving those three petitions.
Exactly.
Presumably, based on those three petitions that she now had in her custody, she's now sent in
exactly
her responses to those three.
Yeah.
The next key question then becomes, we know this, the president must consult with the Council of State.
Exactly.
Do you have any clarity on whether that process has started now that he have the full complement of the petitions and the Chief Justice's response?
From people we've been speaking to at the presidency, one key figure we spoke to told us that it seems that process is currently underway, that consultation process, you know, is underway. Another person who we spoke to was not too certain if that process had already started, because that source was not sure if the petition, if the response to the petition was actually submitted today. If it was submitted by the close of business today, then it means that probably it's going to start tomorrow. That process is going to kickstart, you know, tomorrow. So we do not have proper confirmation on whether that consultation process, you know, has started, you know, already. But we know that when this happens and the response of the Chief Justice is forwarded, you know, to the Council of State, they're going to look at it. If a prima facie case, you know, it's established, then if a prima facie case is not established, the petitions will be dismissed. But if a prima facie case is established, then they'll go ahead to set up the 5-member committee that would sit on the case and then hear the Chief Justice, you know, on the matter.
And that is the next big question.
Exactly.
Maxwell, thank you very much confirming tonight that the Chief Justice has indeed submitted her response to the three petitions seeking to remove her. I want to bring in Martin Kwebu. He is a lawyer, joins us on the line right now. Martin, so the president now has the Chief Justice's response. She complained that she was not served and she invoked the law of natural justice. The president complied. Now she has sent in a response. What next?
So let's also make the point, before she complained natural justice, but we don't also have any evidence that any decision was going to be taken against her before she complained. I think the complaint here is she would just ask for a copy, but it's actually preposterous to think that the president was going to take a decision, make a prima facie determination without giving her a hearing. No, not in Ghana today. We've really advanced. We've gone far ahead of what happened when Charlotte Osei's matter came, and then Charlotte Osei wrote to the president, Akufo-Addo, and Eugene Anghin wrote all those self-save returns. We've shown that we've grown as a people. Anyway, okay. So now what next? The president is going to look at the petition, consider it in consultation with the Council of State. So maybe they will give him advice, which advice, if once is good, he'll take it, right? And also let's note that in the J-Chum, the Attorney General, the Supreme Court said the Council of State should also even get advice from an independent, reputable lawyer. Yes, so this to make sure that the advice coming from the Council of State itself will be great advice. So as a media, you guys should be probing, you should be finding out, is the Council of State going to get that great independent legal mind? Yeah, and that's very, very important, because it will lend a lot of credibility to the process, right? So once the president receives their advice, then he would make the determination. So that's to say, he will look at the allegations in the petition, look at the Chief Justice's response, then look at the advice of the Council of State, and then give his opinion. Naturally, the president will be aided by his legal counsel. You remember that even when President Akufo-Addo did the petition on the response to, or the ruling on the petition presented by Professor Kwaku Asare, as Okudeto came out, the lawyer Okudeto, he said he wrote the opinion. He said he did it. It was a bit curious. We'll leave that for now. But the President's counsel will aid him to write out an opinion, and that would be to say whether there's a prima facie case. In simple terms, whether the allegations are very weighty, and the response of the Chief Justice do not make nonsense of those allegations. As soon as the President finds that these responses from the Chief Justice do not make nonsense of the allegations, then a prima facie case is being made.
And once that happens, once the President makes that determination on the advice of the Council of State, the Constitution says he can do a few things. One, obviously, set up that committee to begin the probe. But most importantly, the President can suspend the CJ, can he not?
Yes, yes, he can suspend the Chief Justice. That is in Article 146, Clause 11. And, you know, curiously, you see, when Chief Justice Tokonu was being interviewed, vetted for this, this is one of the things he mentioned, that the President should not have a role in the discipline of judges. This removal, these proceedings, Article 146.
You agree with that?
Oh, absolutely, I agree. So, in the new constitution, we'll be looking forward to that amendment. And so, Sofia Kufu, who is on the Council of State, has also made it clear that in the new constitution, a president should not be appointing a chief justice and justices of the superior court. We want true independence for the judiciary. And I'm hoping that that kind of thinking that's already in a lot of us would influence the current petition that we have. So as the president is going through it, I'm sure in his mind he'll be looking to see how they can give the judiciary independence. So the petition has to really be a great one to pass through the prima facie.
And the subject of the suspension, it's a reasonable one, is it not? I mean, she's a CJ. She still would empanel the judges of the Supreme Court whilst she's been investigating on certain weightier matters. I mean, the thinking there, just like in any other state agency where people are interdicted, is that you step aside so you have no influence on the process itself or compromising the process. And if you are deemed to have not done anything, of course, you come back and serve. It appears to me is a very reasonable provision in the Constitution that the President obviously has the mandate to enact, to enforce.
Well, on paper, even on paper, right now, it doesn't look progressive, because it means that the judiciary is being made subservient to the executive. That's how come we are all rooting for a change in the new constitution. But right now, we are saddled with this one. You see, the fact that the head of the executive can remove the head of the judiciary, a co-equal arm of government, certainly doesn't speak well for separation of power. But unfortunately, this is what we have now. And like I stated earlier, we're hoping that once we're looking to move our nation forward, the fact that this doesn't look great would influence how the decision itself is taken. So that, let me speak bluntly, meaning that if the allegations are not that weighty, then they shouldn't pass. But if they are weighty, things that would scandalize us if we heard them, or then by all means, they should pass.
And then the question about how long this consultation process should take, it's not specified in the Constitution. In the Ejechum case, was there any prescription as to how long this should take?
Great question. Yeah, so in the Ejechum case, the justices stated that the Rules of Court Committee, they should come out with new rules on this. Yes, and the rules should have put out the, you know, timelines. And you see the OSP Act. Yeah, in the OSP Act, there are timelines. So I think those ones indirectly influence the time that was given to the Chief Justice to respond. You see, she even asked for 7 days, and the President made it 10 days. So, in French, I hope that in the following processes, maybe they'll be looking at the OSP Act and taking inspiration. Yes, and you also, Evans, you asked one question about empaneling the justices of the Supreme Court to consider or determine the application on Wednesday.
On Wednesday.
You see, just as I've said that we are hoping that the President will give more room for, we call it margin of error, okay, that discretion. In the same way, it would be great if the Chief Justice didn't do the empaneling herself. Yes, we know that there are 1,001 cases that say that it's the Chief Justice's duty to empanel justices.
But she also has the discretion to recuse herself.
Excellent. I think it would be great. If she stepped away from empaneling, I think it would equally also influence the president in how the subsequent processes would unfold, because the president will also look to be more magnanimous in the things that he would do going forward.
And quickly, in the interest of time, those cases before the Supreme Court now that will be heard on Wednesday, they are moot now, are they not?
No, they're not. They're part of it. You are right. That part will be moot. On the matter of she should be given a copy of the petition, yes, that's moot because she's been given, right? But on the matter of saying that any time a petition is brought, the Chief Justice should be given a copy before the Council of State is given a copy, that one, it can recur in future. So our jurisprudence shows that anything that can recur in future, the court will go ahead and deal with it once and for all.
And you're expecting that on Wednesday, at least after it's heard, the Supreme Court will be very clear on this particular subject?
Maybe. It's also possible they will not finish on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yes, most likely. They can't finish Wednesday.
Okay. Thank you very much, Nkpebu. And so that's one of the key stories we are following for you tonight. If you're joining us, the Chief Justice has met that 10-day deadline, has submitted her response to the three petitions seeking to remove her. Now, the President will proceed to consult with the Council of State and establish whether a prima facie case has been made, whether indeed there is any preliminary merit in the three cases. If that is established, he'll set up the committee, and he also has the power to suspend the Chief Justice while the investigations continue. I want to hear your thoughts on this tonight. Also tonight, we're learning from the hearing from the Bank of Ghana, a bit more details now beginning to emerge after national security discovered genuine money boxes belonging to the central bank at the heart of a massive counterfeiting bust at Sapema. Now, the boxes were found among 10 20-footer containers packed with fake Ghana cedis, US dollar bundles, and gold-plated bars. And Director of Special Operations at the National Security Secretariat, Richard Jakpa, described the evidence as overwhelming and revealed it has been left untouched to preserve its integrity. We'll be telling you pretty shortly what we are learning from our sources at the BOG, but my colleague Papani Ashale joins me right now with a bit more on this particular find. Papa, let's trace this back a bit. When this bust first happened, it was a major national news. It sort of had died off a bit until very recently when this latest discovery was made public again. How far has this traveled?
As far back as May, February 9th, that's when this first was reported to the public that they had made this particular bust at Sapema. At that time, what they only told us about was the unspecified amount of US and Ghana cedis that they suspected at the time to be counterfeit. Some of those have now been confirmed. By that time, there was no mention of any boxes that they had seen. They only said they had found them in just regular boxes that they saw or they thought contained counterfeit at the time. Now, in all of this, we didn't hear anything about BOG or individuals. The only name that was mentioned at the time was one Alaji that we haven't heard from again.
Okay, and now we're now hearing about the BOG boxes.
Yes, Evan. So at the point during this tour of with Jakpa, at this scene, he pointed at some wooden boxes and said they were Bank of Ghana boxes. On these boxes, though, Evans, there were no tags that I saw that say this is from the Bank of Ghana. However, they had inscriptions which looks like a serial number. There was one C28703 on one box. And another box, it had A40635 on the cover. And then on the side, it says A40785. These are two different numbers on the same box. Now, on the same side that this A40785 was written, you find a handwritten RMD with sort of a black writing. Now, from all of this, this is when we heard from Jakpa, who was explaining how he comes to the conclusion that this is from the Bank of Ghana. We can listen.
So this is some of the boxes. They've already emptied. And this is the reason why I'm serious about it. This one, I brought this from Bank of Ghana. Whoa. These are Bank of Ghana boxes where they use importing monies. When we print money from outside Ghana, they come in these boxes. And they are found here.
Wow. How come?
And we brought the Bank of Ghana officials here. And they admitted these are their boxes.
Okay.
And I see this RMD. It means it has been certified that the man that came was genuine, intact,
by Bank of Ghana, and this is their own certification. And when I ask them, say yes, it's from their office. They wrote this. And I said, so what are your boxes doing in this place?
What was their response?
They couldn't answer. So you see these boxes. These are from Bank of Ghana. You see? And come and see more of the Ghana Bank of Ghana boxes. You see them inside there? A lot. We have not touched them. So we don't even know what is inside here. We are going to get a campaign. Who knows what is what we are going to find in those Bank of Ghana boxes. These are Bank of Ghana boxes. A lot are packed to the back there. So until I get a campaign, I cannot open them. And that's what we are looking for the campaign.
What about what was suspected at the time to be counterfeit cash that had also been found there?
Well, Evans, as you mentioned, that you'd see evidently 100 and 200 CDs notes, but these were in a chain, not separate, not one that you can just remove them one by one. And there were also bundles of $100 bills, some of them strapped. There were gold-plated bars, we were also told. You would even see that the coating was already peeling away. And instructively, Richard Jakpa said most of the boxes had not been opened for a reason that he says They are leaving that as evidence for the supposed Alhaji, who is supposed to be the ringleader of this syndicate, to come and confirm. So he'll be there, then open. We can listen to Jakpa explaining why they will now wait for Alhaji to come before they open them.
How did this happen? If you want to get a contingent himself to be here before we open them. And that's why the place under 24-hour guard. And we are trying to track down the campaign. We have not touched them. So we don't even know what is inside here. We are going to get a campaign. Who knows what is what we are going to find in those Bank of Ghana boxes? These are Bank of Ghana boxes. A lot are packed to the back there. So until I get a campaign, I cannot open them. And that's what we are looking for the campaign. We are very professional about our work. And we want to make sure that the evidence will be admissible in court. So we don't want to tamper with them. We want to wait and get a campaign and bring them here. Because we have evidence linking them to this place. And you see the dollars, the fake dollars too. They're all packed here. Now, if I come to you and give you this bundle, will you tell me that unless you have a machine to check?
Well, Joy Business Editor George Afe is with me in the studio. And George, you've been working your sources at the BOG. What more have you learned?
So, Evans, we understand that basically, indeed, these boxes are used by the bank when it comes to important currency into the country. And it comes in these boxes, and the Bank of Ghana gets these currencies in these boxes. And basically, they are actually transferred to these commercial banks in these boxes. Now, when these commercial banks have been able to, use the money or get the money out of these boxes, we understand that there have been several instances where these boxes have found their way onto the market because of the durability of it. Some people actually use it for their personal use at homes. And even if you go to the market around the Bank of Ghana in the high street and other areas, you realize that there are even some market women who actually plead for these boxes to use it. So what we understand the Bank of Ghana is trying to establish that, yes, of course, it is true that you can have these boxes out on the market, but they cannot in any way be linked directly to the Bank of Ghana, actually giving it to people because there were currency inside. They believe that if indeed is established of any criminal use of these boxes, government should deploy the various security agencies to go after these individuals. But the fact that these boxes are often found their way onto the market when the Bank of Ghana has finished maybe taking that currency out of these boxes, that one is nothing new. And you've had several instances where individuals have actually found a way using these boxes. If these criminals or people out there have been able to get hold of these boxes and they are using it for other means, it shouldn't be directly linked to the Bank of Ghana that these were currencies coming from the Bank of Ghana onto the market.
And that is an important point, because these boxes although had the seal of the BOG on it, the BOG is explaining to you that once they emptied those boxes, these boxes prior to where they found it may have had genuine Ghana CD notes in them, but anybody could after has been disposed.
No, but that is when these boxes get onto the market empty and not having notes that are said to be original currencies from the Bank of Ghana. And because of these boxes are said to be durable and basically best international practice, most countries are they use these boxes. Often people plead for these boxes, just like having carts that are used for boxes for other products. And if you go to some of these factories, you realize that there are people who always queue to try and get these boxes. And that is why these boxes have found their way onto the market. But it shouldn't be linked that directly to the Bank of Ghana or some operatives inside have been able to ship currencies outside of the Bank of Ghana onto the market without it going through the proper channels to give these monies out to these commercial banks.
Joel, thank you very much. And you can find more on myjoyonline.com and across our many social media platforms. Now, in a dress that Chiduma say hope runs as dry as a cracked earth beneath farmers' feet here. Desperate for water, smallholder farmers dig into the ground, sometimes with bare hands, praying to strike a muddy miracle. But even when they do, they must share it with livestock, risking their health for every drop. Now, join us is Michael Ashali, journeyed to this parched farming community and now reports on the crisis that can no longer be ignored.
As the sun sets over Aminemu, Yakubu leads his family on their daily walk to a stream bed. With holes in hand and hope in their hearts, they dig into the cracked earth, searching for water. The sound of metal striking the ground fills the air. But the effort yields nothing, just mud and despair. We have relied on this water source for years. During the dry season, it dries up completely, forcing us to dig with a hole until water slowly seeps through. Even that, there is no guarantee. The water isn't just scarce, it's unsafe, tainted by grazing animals. The people, desperate for water, pay the price with their health. Both cattle and pigs come here to drink. But that's not even the worst part. Upstream, waste is dumped directly into the water, making it unsafe for us. Aminemu's water crisis is dire. More than 500 residents spread across scattered settlements rely on these polluted streams. Bawa Kunde is the assemblyman for the area.
The cattle, you know, they will stand inside the water before they drink, so they pollute the water, they dump their feces in the water. One of the sickness that they normally complain about is typhoid fever, you know.
Bawa has fought for help, but so far, his efforts have come up short.
I've done a lot about writing into people who can help us. I've done that, but yet we are not getting any response from them.
Today, Yakubu, Bawa and the people of Aminemu leave the dry stream bed behind for good. Thanks to Rotary International and their partners, Aminemu has a borehole and a future.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son,
amen,
and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Randy Fiorini is a farmer from the USA.
What Rotary has done here is provide clean drinking water that will change the lives of generations for this village. And we want to repeat that over and over and again throughout Ghana. Our goal is to eliminate poor drinking water in Ghana.
Each borehole, valued at $9,500, comes with a simple ask, an oath to maintain them. To ensure this, a water management committee was established in the community. For years, Yakubu and his family dug in vain. Today, they simply pump. The water they prayed for has finally arrived. For Joy News, Michael Ashali.
You're still live, your news night is on Joy 99.7 FM. Still ahead, where are the 200 drones purchased by the Akufo-Addo government in 2018 to fight illegal mining?
I have not seen the drones since I became a minister, and I don't know exactly where they are. Maybe Mr. Izzy will tell me where they are.
Details of that and more after business. Hello, George.
Well, hi, Evans. And coming up, we'll be hearing more of government actually arguing that they'll be engaging more stakeholders to get some deeper understanding about the impact of these tariff hikes on the Ghanaian economy. Getting you more details on that one. And also, be hearing from Parliament that is promising to enforce laws aimed at checking overruns after approving that 290 billion Ghana cedis in appropriation for this government to spend for this year. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery. Synthes Thanks and President Hebal and Chaco. Welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, government has revealed that it is currently engaging relevant stakeholders to help appreciate the full impact of the recent tariff hikes on the Ghanaian economy. There is more in this report.
The revelation by government is coming at a time that there have been several projections that Ghana could be losing millions of dollars as a result of the action by President Donald Trump. The governor of the Bank of Ghana, Dr. Johnson Siama, at a recent Monetary Policy Committee meeting noted that the current global trade war could hurt Ghana's economy if not well managed. The governor maintained that it could come with some shocks for the economy in the area of inflation and stability of the Ghana cedi. The Bank of Ghana has also told Joy Business that it is currently putting together its numbers to help quantify the real impact on the economy when it comes to inflation and even the banking sector. One is not clear for now about the timelines here when it comes to government and the stakeholder engagement that is currently undertaken. But it is clear that this action by the US government could impact badly on Ghana's budget and the projected revenue going forward. We also note that majority of Ghana's exports are exempted from the tariff hike because of the Free Trade Pact AGOA. That initiative should end by close of this year. And there are clear indications that the Trump administration may not extend this Free Trade Pact.
And that is a Business Desk report. Meanwhile, the West African director for the trade policy think tank, that is CAT International, Kusi Adumaku, is insisting that this move by the US government could come with some serious challenges for the economy as well as job losses.
Jobs are going to be affected. In Ghana, we do export goods to the US market. Last year, I was in Koforidua. There's a company, an apparel company, that produces garments contract based to US brands like Walmart and all the major brands, and these companies are all operated under the AGOA. Now, AGOA is the African Growth and Opportunity Act. It is a congressional act passed by the US Congress, and so as to whether the president can use an executive instrument to restrict AGOA, I think that thing did not come out clearly. Perhaps maybe we may have to ask the U.S. Embassy to be able to
tell some clarity.
Yeah, though AGOA expires this year, and it is up for renewal, and I doubt whether the Trump administration would renew AGOA.
Kusi Adumaku is the West African director for trade policy think tank, that is CATS International. Now, the Bank of Ghana has stated that it is taking steps to encourage more mergers and acquisitions in the specialized deposit taking sector in the country. The move is part of measures to try and restructure the sector, made up of some savings and loans, rural and community banks, and microfinance institutions. Ismail Adams is the acting head of banking supervision at the Bank of Ghana.
The Bank of Ghana has seen the importance of industry-led consolidation for industry-led mergers, which is intended to reshape that space of the market, i.e. the SDI sector. So the key message there is that we are looking at how do we bring in equity from strategic investors. And as I said, there are some strategic investors talking to some of these SDIs, and also how to revamp their governance structure such that we have proper governance arrangements around their operations. The other issue is how to deal with the emission drift. i.e. SDI is doing things that was not originally the intended activity for that space.
Ismail Adams is the acting head of banking supervision at the Bank of Ghana. Now, Parliament has given the firm assurance that it would move to enforce the current laws aimed at checking any budget overruns. Now, if we lose concerns, the country could end the year with another high budget deficit, despite Parliament approving some 290 billion Ghana cedis for government to spend this year. Kujuoppo Nkrumah is the ranking member on Parliament's Committee on Economy and Development.
So, for example, on the Economy Committee side, we'll soon start our public hearings, inviting the ministers to come and present what we call their annual performance reports. In those annual performance reports, we will spot any overruns that occurred in the previous years. We will also see your program of activity and your KPIs for this year and how you are spending this year. And if there are any overruns that are showing up, we'll be able to catch them in time and draw your attention to so that we avoid those overruns. The public hearings are very helpful in this area.
And ranking member on Parliament's Committee on Economy and Development, Kujuoppo Nkrumah. And that's all for Business on Newsnight.
Thank you very much, George. We can do sports now, and Kranting is here with the details.
Let's go straight into the stories. And the president of the Ghana Olympic Committee, Ben Nunumenta, has warned of the potential deterioration of the Botiman Sports Complex if the facility isn't put to use. The complex was completed back in 2023 for the African Games and has since not hosted any major sporting event. Nunumenta says that must change.
Look, the facility we have in Botima, if we don't take advantage and make sure that at least every 3 months is being used for one tournament or the other, we'll run down quickly.
We have national teams who are one of the best in Africa, okay? If we start hosting a lot of African championships here, it prepares our national teams for the big ones.
Nunumenta has also urged the sports minister, Kofi Adams, to take steps to bid for the hosting rights for the next Commonwealth Youth Games in 2028. According to the GOC president, Ghana has the facilities to pull it off.
As I speak to you now, Ghana can comfortably, without any stress, host the Commonwealth Youth Games. The Commonwealth Youth Games has just about 12 disciplines. Okay, we did African Games, which is about 25 disciplines. We have enough facilities to host the Commonwealth Youth Games. I would want the minister to be bold enough and say, look, we're going to push for the next Commonwealth Youth Games. It's probably in 2028 or 2030. And Ghana can comfortably, we have the hotels, we have a transport system that works, we have the facilities. You don't need any huge infrastructure to hold the Commonwealth Games, even the main games.
That was GOC President Ben Nunumenta speaking there. Before we go, the Disciplinary Committee of the Ghana Football Association has charged Brekum Chelsea and Accra Lions for failing to conduct mandatory pre-match interviews ahead of their match day 26 fixtures. According to the GFA, both clubs did not comply with the requirements for coaches and players to participate in the pre-match media engagement, which is a breach of the association's media regulations. In addition to the two Premier League clubs, 45 other Division 1 clubs have also been charged for the same offence. And that brings an end to sports. Back to you, Evans.
Thank you very much, Kranting. I will be sharing your thoughts with the rest of the world pretty shortly via WhatsApp. Send me a message, 055-1111-997. Our government in 2018 spent $3 million on drones to fight illegal mining. 7 years later, Lands and Natural Resources Minister Emmanuel Amakofi-Bua says he has no evidence yet about the existence of the drones. My colleague, Seme Fakpasu, has more.
At the Minerals Commission, the Lands and Natural Resources Minister faced questions about the $3 million drone deal approved under the Akufo-Addo-led administration to fight illegal mining. Mr. Emmanuel Amakofi-Bua did not hold back.
I know that using modern technology is very critical in this work. And I think from here I'm going to see some geofencing activities you guys have done here and see how we can even make it bigger and expand it. Yes, there was reports of drones and other things. We interministerial committee, but I can tell you that it's probably part of the things we are looking at. I have not seen the drones since I became a minister, and I don't know exactly where they are. Maybe Mr. Issi will tell me where they are. But it is part of the many things that we are looking at.
Back in 2018, the Lands Minister, John Peter Amewu, and the Secretary of the Interministerial Committee, Charles Bisio, confirmed that 200 drones had arrived. But an investigation by the Fourth Estate revealed that none could be accounted for. Now the current minister says there's no trace of these drones anywhere at the ministry. He also addressed concerns about Parliament's move to repeal the law that permits mining in forest reserves.
We have taken the most important step to make sure that the real issue that was the concern of the people of Ghana, how do we ensure that there is no more new licenses issued in forest reserve? And we've taken the heart of that in Act 2462. I am aware of the concerns that has been raised. And as a listening government, I can tell you that the Attorney General, working closely with the Minister for Environment, Science and Technology, with our support, are looking at all of that. Exactly what must we do to take the portions which are the reason why the whole act was not repealed, take it up and repackage it. But what is good for the people of Ghana is that we move quickly to make sure we can take out the power of the president to authorize money in new forest reserve. And in 21 days, that will become law and nobody will have access to a forest reserve.
And that there is the Lands and Natural Resources Minister speaking at this event. And thankfully, we can speak to the former Lands and Natural Resources Minister who joins us on the line right now, Ms. Abujina Paul. Grateful that you could join us on Newsnight. So the incumbent minister says that he has no evidence that the drones even exist. Do you know where the drones are?
Well, first of all, I'm normally very reluctant to make comments about the work of my successor, especially when he's just settling in. So I'm doing this very reluctantly. And secondly, your producer gave me the impression that the minister is talking about drones that were bought during my tenure, which are unaccounted for, because the handing over notes I gave to the minister did not have any indication of drones being bought. I became minister on 5th March 2021. These drones that are being talked about are drones which were bought in 2018, supposedly bought in 2018 by the Interministerial Committee on Illegal Mining, which was headed by Professor Frimpong Boateng. When I became minister, there was no handing over notes which suggested that drones had been bought. Neither were there any drones handed over to me as minister. So the correct place to direct the inquiries will be the Minerals Commission, which is the repository of all records relating to mining, and therefore they should have records of it, and or the leadership of the Interministerial Committee, Professor Frimpong Boateng and his colleagues.
Under your watch, though, did this matter come up at all? As in,
yes, it came up multiple times, and my response has always been the same. Just as the minister is the honourable minister is Minister Boa is indicating that nothing like that was handed over to me, and I didn't have any record of drones being bought or being handed over, and I was in the same situation as he finds himself now. I was always under the impression that there is a suggestion that drones were bought under my tenure, which he cannot find. And I was going to indicate that nowhere in my handing over notes did I indicate that drones were bought. These drones were supposed to have been bought during the tenure of the Interministerial Committee by Professor Frimpong Boateng. And if there's a place where you should always find records of mining, it should be the Minerals Commission.
From Boateng was your colleague, Minerals Commission, an agency under the Lands and Natural Resources Ministry. Once it came up under your watch, did you query any of these individuals?
I made the queries, I made the inquiries. There was no record of these drones. And I put reports before the relevant authorities and agencies at the time. I mean, you know, this is quite an old story, which we've gone over it over and over again. They just did not exist at the time I became a minister. Were they not bought? How were they handled? All of those can be answered by the Interministerial Committee.
Thank you very much, Abu Junapo. That's the immediate past Lands and Natural Resources Minister on the subject of the drones we've been hearing about from the incumbent Natural Resources Minister. Still, as part of the fight against illegal mining. And some of your messages on our WhatsApp console coming through, I'll share that with you pretty shortly, just before we wrap up. But before we do that, though, today, the opposition New Patriotic Party, NPP, is taking on the John Mahama administration, accusing it of a cover-up relating to allegations of drug trafficking in Ghana. In a statement, the party raised concerns about Air Med Flight N823AM and the Kovac Air Antonov AN12B, both of which reportedly developed faults while in Ghana, with a minority alleging the flights were part of a plot to use Ghana as a hub for drug trafficking. Listen to the party's general secretary, Kodjo Frimpong.
The rank and file of our party have expressed its disappointment and the worrying behavior of this government and the several questions, mind-boggling questions that we are expecting the government to explain to the good people of Ghana, and also the inconsistency in its attempt to sweep under the carpet several issues that concern or surround the drug, alleged drug trafficking in our airport. Those are the issues that the party is going to discuss tomorrow. Well, because as I indicated to you, currently what is important to the people of Ghana and to our party is a running issue on the alleged drug trafficking in our country, which I believe is of utmost concern to you as a responsible Ghanaian. And that is the issue that our party people want to discuss. There are several questions that, as I indicated, you want the government to answer. They shouldn't even try to divert attention. Ghanaians want to find out from the president and his government the inconsistency in their attempt to explain themselves.
Well, he's also expressing shock over the silence of the security service on the development, as well as two major drug trafficking cases, the $350 million cocaine bust in Cape Coast and the $150 million cocaine seizure in Sekendi.
And it, as a party, we are very surprised that at this point in time, when these issues has become a major topic for us as a country and bringing international embarrassment to the country, we are yet to hear an official communication from any of the security agencies in the country. Is it not surprising? Is it not worrying? And those are the issues that the New Patriotic Party want to talk about. And these are the things that we want to hear from the NDC.
And the party is scheduled to do a briefing after a meeting that they say they'll be holding on these matters. And once we get clarity on that, we'll bring that to you. A few of your messages on our WhatsApp console now. Musa Abatua says, Evans, kudos to the national security leaders, Richard Jakwa and Musa Fagbande, for swiftly restoring order at Aura Apartments after the businessman misusing past. He says, misusing the place for nefarious activities. And this one from Eddie in Kintampo says, a Bank of Ghana boxes found after used with public cannot be sent outside Ghana through whatever means for reuse. Now, this has no name. It says President Mahama and the NDC should stop their unjustified attempts to remove the Chief Justice, allowing the CJ to continue offering excellent justice delivery for Ghanaians to live in peace. And Abuchi Philip in Keta, seriously, NDC government pledged to reset Ghana. I'm very glad with the Minister of Road and Highways, Fahmy Abuja, has instructed all contractors to return to the Tema to a flower road. And that's a story you can find on myjoyonline.com. Enjoy the rest of your evening.